not have the ability, we do not have a command that says you need to be the most skilled preacher or orator or debater or apologist to sow seed. The whole message of the parable of the soil is to go and sow seed.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
And going to look at the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, to begin in verse 1. Probably one of the three best known. I think this one, the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, would be perhaps the three best known of Jesus' parables. And when we come to this one, it's one that needs very little cultural adjustment, actually. Planting seeds and planting a garden is pretty universal. People know that if you dig a hole in the earth and you plant a tomato plant, you'll get a tomato plant. They know if you plant a marigold seed, you'll get a marigold. And Jesus comes and uses what, more so than in an agrarian society, everybody would understand, but even today we understand, tells the story that everybody would recognize. However, he does something that we can't do with the story. He takes that story and he uses it to teach a spiritual truth. And we see it very clearly in this one because we will see that Jesus gives us the interpretation. Without the interpretation, we would not know what the story is trying to convey to us. And so the audience who is listening, I can imagine at first is like, what's he talking about? We know how to do this. What is he trying to teach us? And then he takes something that is so common to all of them and turns it upside down and gives them a great spiritual truth. So what I would like to do this morning is read the first 9 verses of the parable and then talk about it for just a minute and then get to verse 18 through 23 where we have the interpretation. So Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got in the boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, and here is the parable. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they did not have a root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So the parable begins, again, with something everybody would know. A sower goes to sow. And as he walks out into the field, he would sow the seeds a little bit differently than we would today. And this is maybe the biggest cultural adjustment. He would sow it by broadcasting. He would reach into his seed bag and scatter it out, grab a handful, and scatter the seed into his field. And this is a little bit different than how they plant today. The fields around our house were just recently planted with corn, and when they planted, they bring in the great big John Deere with the corn planter behind them and can plant, I haven't counted, but it looks like 10 to 14 rows at a time and just do-do-do-do-do and go right down the row. I actually was curious and looked this up. John Deere actually makes a planter, and I guess this is out for the Midwest regions, that plants 48 rows at a time. I think they said it's like 120 feet wide, and it just, you know, but again, they're plowing and planting hundreds and hundreds of acres at a time. So that's one of the cultural differences, is they didn't use John Deere, we do today. So the parable, the sower goes out and he throws the seed. And in the parable, Jesus tells the audience what would happen to the seed. And again, they would recognize this. He says, as they throw it out, he describes four different types of soils. And the first one is the path. All right, and he says, on the path, the seed falls. Now, the paths made very much sense. Even today, you have paths around fields. Back then, the farmers did not, and tell me this sounds familiar if you grow a garden, the farmers did not want people walking through their fields. And so paths would develop around the field so that people, as they would walk through, because remember, there's not the road system that we have today, but as people traveled by foot, they would travel through the fields. And these paths would develop and people would walk around the fields. You know how to get a farmer mad? Walk through his garden. I mean, you walk through a garden. I mean, the same thing then. You get a farmer mad, walk through his garden. When I was a boy, and we would be out there working, when I got hot and I wanted to go inside, I would do something that made my grandfather irritated. I'd start walking perpendicular to the rows, and I would get sent inside shortly after if I kept doing that, and I'd feel guilty until I hit the air conditioning. And about that time, the guilt just evaporated because I was cool. But, you know, if you want to get somebody mad, walk through their field. And people back then didn't want to get the farmer mad because, you know, what the farmer is growing may be what they buy later. Paths then would develop along the edges of the fields. And you can imagine the paths back then did the same thing paths do today, that you continue to trod. Eventually, the earth just keeps getting compacted and compacted and compacted, and from the foot traffic, there's no grass, and it's hard, and it's firm, and nothing can get in, so that the seed, and again, the audience would recognize this, the seed would just fall on the path until eventually a bird would scoop down and be like, hey, free lunch, pick up the seed and eat it. And Luke's account, where Luke records the parable as well, he says people would also trample on the seed, which makes sense, right? The seed's on the path that they're walking. They trample on the seed. What happens to the seed? It produces nothing. The seed lands on the path. Nothing is produced from it. Jesus then goes on and talks about the second type of soil, says the rocky soil. You go to work in your field, and one of the first things that you do is you get the rocks out. That's one of the reasons you plow and till and turn it. You want to get all the rocks out of your soil so that the soil would be ready to take the seeds. Well, in Israel, they had one more issue. It wasn't just that they had rocks and pebbles, but below the ground, they would have large plates of limestone, and they couldn't plow it up. It was deep enough to affect their land, but they were too big and too deep to plow up and remove from the field. They couldn't see it. So a seed would fall down then into the soil, and it would start to grow, and the roots would go down through the soil because there's enough there for the root or for the seed to take root and start to grow. But then it would hit that rock, and now the roots can't go down. And so what happens is, as the roots couldn't go down, the plant pushes farther and farther up out of the soil, to the part where you're thinking, all right, great, I'm going to have a really good plant here. But what is happening is, because there's no roots underneath because of the rock, that whole plant is up there and is devoid now of any nourishment. And so the roots are very shallow. The water evaporates, and the plant can't absorb the water to continue to cause it and create it to grow. So what happens? The sun comes out. The sun beats down on the plant, and the plant just withers. We've seen this happen in our gardens and in our plants as well. You think you're going to have a beautiful plant one day, and then because there's no depth of root, the sun comes out, and your plant is gone. And it's gone usually before it's able to produce any fruit. There's a third type of soil, and that's the type that has weeds in it, or has thorns in it. Some of them spring up here. And again, the farmer is broadcast sowing, so it would make sense. And the one thing that I have never understood about gardening, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you can never get rid of all the weeds. They always seem to come back again and again and again. And it doesn't matter. Even now, the farmers, when they went out and they planted the fields around our house, before they planted the corn, they went out and they killed everything in the field. They sprayed it with this big industrial sprayer. Here's what's going to happen. In about another 2 or 3 weeks, when the corn starts to get decent enough, those weeds are going to start to come back. And you're going to be able to see, especially on the edge of the field, you'll be able to see the morning glory start to come up and wrap themselves around the corn stalk. Even though they tried, they can't get rid of the weeds. And if you don't get rid of the weeds, then what's going to happen is those weeds and thorns are going to grow up and they're going to start to choke the life out of the plant. And you know this to be true as well. We've seen it. You've got to keep going out there and pull up the weeds from your tomato plants and from your squash plants so that you can have a fruitful plant. And it doesn't matter at the beginning if the soil looks good because you still can't see the weeds. You don't know that they're there. But you find out as they start growing. And what happens? Again, you have a seed take hold and a plant grow up, but no fruit is produced because it's choked out. But then fourthly, there's the final soil, the good soil, which really doesn't need any explanation, does it? This is the soil that the seed falls in. The seed grows a deep root to source of nourishment, and weeds stay away, and the plant grows, and it starts to produce fruit. And Jesus, to draw the audience in, uses unimaginable amounts, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100%-fold increase on a crop. Can you imagine if you planted some green beans and you had a 100-fold increase on the crop? I mean, my back hurts and arms itch just thinking about it. I couldn't imagine having such a crop that you would have that much. But you would be amazed by the increase. And if this is where Jesus stopped in the story, no one would understand the spiritual truth. Even just then, if we read that, we're going, okay, we could probably come and maybe attempt to make some suggestions of what the truth is, but we really wouldn't know. Thank goodness Jesus began in verse 18, interprets the parable for us. So verse 18 down to verse 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This was what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So here we have the interpretation of the parable. And as Jesus interprets the parable, we really have only three elements in it, right? We have the soil, we have the seed, and we have the sower. Those are the only three elements that are in the parable. And what I want to do this morning is just point out to those three so that we understand who it is. And while it is usually called the parable of the sower, it's really the parable of the soils. For the emphasis is on the soil, not so much the sower, and really the seed, even though that they are important and we need to know. So here we go. Who is the sower? The sower is anyone who proclaims the word of God. The sower is anyone who proclaims the word of God. We get this really from two places. One, we get it from Luke's account, who makes it a little bit clearer that that is who is the sower. But also, if you look down in verse 37, Jesus is telling another parable. And as he explains the parable, he says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So here it is. We are told that the one who originally sows the good seed is Jesus Christ. And so as he is telling us this, what we see, Jesus came, and what did he do? He proclaimed the good news of the gospel. He is the original sower. And as such, he then goes on and he commissions his disciples to take up his place and to continue in his place after he ascends back to heaven. So Jesus commissions the disciples to go and be sowers. Tells Paul, you will bear my name. He was a sower. But then after the disciples go and they make new believers, the believers then become sowers. It is their job. It is the first Christians who are then the sowers. And they continue to sow the seed. And you can see then how down through history, down through Christian history, that there is an unbroken line of sowers beginning at the very beginning with Jesus Christ, who was the original sower. What that means today is that you and I are sowers. I'm the sower in the parable. You are the sower in the parable. And we are told and instructed then to go out and to do just that. One of the things that as we read about the sower that I always come back to, and it always is amazing to me, is how natural it is presented. The sower goes out to sow some seed. Well, what else would he do? That's what he does. And as a sower of the seed, as one who proclaims the Word of God, it should just be so natural to us that it's just in a sentence that we go out and we sow the Word of God. It shouldn't be difficult for us. It shouldn't be hard. It needs to be second nature. But the sower is anyone who proclaims the Word of God. And it doesn't have to be a pastor. Doesn't have to be an evangelist. It's a Sunday school teacher. It's a youth teacher. It's a children's teacher. It's you out in the marketplace. It's you at work. It's you in the world. It is all of us who proclaim and profess the name of Christ wherever we go. We are to be sowers of the Word of God. But then again, we are told the second thing. So we know who the sower is. What is the seed? Well, the seed is the Word of God. Again, Luke's gospel makes this, in his account, makes it a little bit more implicit, but he tells us that what is sown is indeed the Word of God. And the Word of God, and we've mentioned this many times, or I've mentioned it many times, the Word of God is the Bible, what we have right here. And we understand that. But remember, there is a deeper truth to what is the Word of God. And at that point, it's no matter what is the Word of God as a book, but it is the who of the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And so what we are sowing is the Word of God, but what we are really and truthfully sowing then is the Word Jesus Christ made manifest in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins. We tell them the gospel story. What was Jesus' first message? Do you remember this? This is where Jesus went out and preached. Matthew 5:17. And his first sermon was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That's what he said. So when we come to this parable and we look at verse 19, it says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom." What is the word of the kingdom? The word of the kingdom is what Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for Christ has come to save you from your sins." Turn from your sins. Come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, to the one who has come to save you. That's the seed. That is what the gospel message is. Now, if you really want to go down in one of those moments where you read in the Bible and it just kind of, it taxes your brain to really think about this, just think on this for a minute. The gospel seed was created by God Himself. There is no other seed, right? There is nothing else out there. There is no philosophy. There is no science. There is nothing else out there that can give life like the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the seed. But think about this. We just read that Jesus Christ was the first sower. Jesus Christ is not only the original sower, He is the seed. He is one and the same. And so He has told us then to go and broadcast and sow the gospel that He originally did. And when we do that, we're actually sowing the seed of Jesus Christ. And we're praying that that seed then will take root in somebody's life and develop into them so that they will have the new life that only the gospel of Christ can give them. So that's the seed. We've got the sower, We've got the seed, but now the focus comes down to the soil. And we need to understand very clearly that when we look at the souls, what we need to understand is the soul is the heart of the one who hears the gospel. Right? That's the issue. The seed is never the issue. The sower in the parable is never the issue. The issue is the person who hears the gospel, their heart. It's a heart issue. So what are the soils then? Number one, and I know the sentence isn't probably correct because I don't know if path soil is an actual type of soil, but for the parable, it's what we're going to go with. The path soil is an impermeable heart. And what I mean by that is that the soul, or impenetrable heart, whichever one you want to use, the seed could not permeate, could not dig down, even though the seed. Do you ever look at seeds and notice they got that little point, right? Somehow that point on the seed knows to it can drive down through the soil. But if it falls on the path, that soil is so hard that no matter how hard it tries, it can't get into the soil. It just lays there. And this is the heart who the gospel just, it can't get through that hard-heartedness. It just lays there on top of their heart and it doesn't go anywhere else. And while it lays there, we are told that the evil one comes and snatches it away. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. It's right there. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't get down into the heart. And it becomes easy pickings for Satan just to pluck it up and take it away. People, they don't want to give up their sin. They doubt that that what is being taught is true. They fear or think how many people or fear transforming their lives. There's a fear, and so they doubt that way, and it can't, the seed can't get into their heart. Now that's the thing that's so difficult. We look back on Jesus teaching this parable. We look back on him teaching at the Sermon on the Mount and invited all of those to come. You would think that people hearing Jesus preach the message that day on the Sermon on the Mount, that there would just be a flood coming down the mount of people, but not everybody responded. You would think that as Jesus teaches the Pharisees and preaches in the synagogues to people who have been looking for him for generations, that they would flood to him. But what does he say? You hard-hearted people, you can't hear me. The truth of the prophecy of Isaiah is standing before you today, and yet they would not come to know Christ. The gospel was not able to penetrate their hard heart. And today that remains true. There are some people that the gospel, it will not penetrate their heart. And that is what the path represents. But then the rocky soul is a shallow heart. The rocky soul is a shallow heart. This is the person who hears the word of God, responds with great gusto and zeal. I mean, they're ready to go. You see joy in their life and you see them sprout up and things are going well. That's what it says, verse 20. As for what has been sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. They're happy. They're ready to go. What happens though? It's a shallow and superficial joy. For Jesus continues, it says, yet he has no root in himself. And that's very key, in himself. The roots aren't burrowing down into the heart. So he has no root. And endures for a while until what? He says, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The persecution comes, right? Like the sun beating down withers the plant. The persecution comes and beats down on the one with no depth, with a shallow heart. And all of a sudden, as they lack that commitment to Christ, the persecution beats down on them as they're tested, and then they fall away. You see, persecution will either strengthen the believer or it will wither the person with a shallow heart. It will come. We've talked about this many times. Every time Jesus talks about persecution, it is never if. It is always when. What didn't they do? Remember a parable a couple weeks ago where we said Jesus teaches people to count the cost of discipleship. They did not count the cost, and as a result, they withered away. So the rocky soil is a shallow heart. But then thirdly, the weedy soil is a strangled heart. This is what Jesus says. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So again, the person hears it. The person receives it. And it begins to grow for a little while, just like when you till the soil and your plants start to grow, but then all of a sudden weeds start to grow. And if you don't take out those weeds, and what do you know about weeds? You can't pluck them up from the leaves. You got to go down to the root. So if you don't take the roots out, that those weeds are going to grow up and choke out the plant. And we read here that the person who has a strangled heart, all of a sudden that tension of the world on one side and the gospel on the other side, that tension, the world starts to grow up around the gospel and starts to strangle it and choke it out. The lure of the world. Right? We're always in that constant battle with the world, and we got to be careful because the lure of the world is bright and shiny and looks good. And we saw a few weeks back in Ecclesiastes, there's some really good things in the world. We have good things in the world that God has given to us for us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we allow our work, our hobbies, our pursuit of pleasure, or whatever, to take precedence over the gospel, and we try to find our ultimate means and value in those pursuits instead of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who we are in Him, that's when the problem arises. And that's when the world starts to choke out the gospel, because we didn't rip the weeds up from the roots. And if we don't, they will continue to grow until they choke out God. There's also another, just a little side note on that. Weeds will always grow. You got to be diligent to keep pulling them out of your heart. It's a battle that you will fight the entire time. Just like when you have a garden, you fight it the entire time. But you can have victory if you pull the weeds out by the roots. But then finally, the good soul is a receptive heart. So if we have an impenetrable heart, we have a shallow heart, we have a strangled heart, but then finally we have a receptive heart. This is the one who hears the good news. He's counted the cost. The roots grow deep into them. They're firmly anchored into the gospel of Christ. And as the roots grow and the plant grows, they produce fruit in their life. The person begins to look more like Jesus. Always go to look at the fruit of the Spirit. How are you looking like Jesus in those respects? Love, joy, patience, are they yours? Are you producing fruit by telling other people about Christ? Are you producing fruit as you grow in your life and your Christian walk? Every believer produces fruit. Even though, and the parable teaches this, we don't produce the same amount of fruit, every believer produces fruit. The mark of a believer is not the amount, it is the presence of fruit. And so the good soul then takes root, and as Jesus says, he hears it, he understands, and starts to bear fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Are you producing fruit in your life as a believer? See, that's the good soil. That's what we pray, that as the seed is broadcast, that's what the seed will land on and produce a good soil, a good crop, and a strong believer. Now this morning, I want to take just right here at the end with some encouragement and a challenge as we read this parable. Just very quickly, I want you to see that it does not matter about the skill of the sower. I think sometimes as we talk about gospel presentation and sowing the seed, and I'm not against being better. I'm not against equipping yourself. I'm not against reading to see how to be better. I'm not against methodology. What we see, though, right here is that it doesn't matter the skill of the sower. Imagine the sower taking a young apprentice into the field with him. And the sower has skill. He knows, he's practiced. He's walked that field for years. And he knows as he throws out his hand, he knows how that seed is going to leave his hand. And he knows how much to get in his hand and hold in his hand, right? You've met those people, right? Cooks. You ask a cook, what's the recipe? Well, you use this amount. How much? Well, just this much. So that sower knows exactly what he is doing. He goes out to the field one day and he's got his apprentice with him. First day on the job. Sower looks at the apprentice and says, I want you to reach in the bag and I'm going to walk behind you and I want you to broadcast that seed. Sower, the apprentice reaches into his bag and he's not really paying attention. He's anxious, right? And so he gets a whole bunch and he lifts up his hand and they're standing right there on the corner of where the path is and he's got too much in his hand and what happens? That seed falls out all over the path. Right? It's not going to grow. So he takes it and he flings it out right there. And all the seed goes 1 foot in front of him. Doesn't go anywhere else. Or maybe he holds on it too long and throws it way over there. They're approaching a spot where maybe the farmer knows that the seed doesn't grow because there's some stone underneath there. But the young apprentice throws it over there as well. But finally, the sower or the apprentice throws out some seed and it lands in the good soil. What happens to that seed? It will take root and blossom and grow just like if that seed was planted by the sower. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter. If the gospel seed is sown and it hits good soil, it doesn't matter how well you communicated the gospel. It doesn't matter how you fumbled through it. It hit good soil and it started to root and it started to grow. We do not have the ability, we do not have, a command that says you need to be the most skilled preacher or orator or debater or apologist, and I'm thankful for all of those, to sow seed. The whole message of the parable of the soil is to go and sow seed. Doesn't matter the skill. Secondly, the more seed you sow, the more good soil you're going to hit. All right? This is another amazing thing about the gospel. While it is only one seed, we are not limited to just one seed. All right? When you go out and plant tomatoes, you don't plant one tomato. You don't hold on to that seed and say, this is it. I'm just going to plant this one tomato seed. I know it's the best seed I've got. And plant it and put all your hopes in that one tomato seed. You plant rows and rows of tomato seeds. Same thing with the gospel. While we have one seed, we are able to plant that one seed over and 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 over again. And the more you plant it, the more you sow it, the more you spread it, the more good soil you're going to hit. It's just, it's simple logic. If you throw out the gospel seed one time, Jesus says you got about a 25% chance of hitting good soil. But if we keep throwing it out and keep throwing it out and keep throwing it out and keep throwing it out, we're going to hit more and more and more good soil. So we throw it out. Continue to sow the gospel story. But then finally, what the world needs right now in the mess of everything that is going on, what the world needs now is some seed sowers. The gospel is the only source of hope. It always has been, it always will be, right now more than ever. It is the only place that we have hope and we have life. And what the world needs now is to hear that hope. And it's not go hear it from anybody else, but from a sower. It's only go hear it from somebody who is sharing and willing to share the gospel message. To get out there and broadcast the seed so that people can hear. If you had, right now, in the midst of COVID-19, if you had in your basement a life-giving vaccine that would give the world hope and save the world from this, would you keep it hidden in your basement? We all know that that answer is no. We would call every pharmaceutical company we could and say, I have the cure. I have the hope that the world is looking for COVID-19. Believers, we have a greater hope. We have the hope of life through Jesus Christ and eternal life to come. We cannot keep it hidden. We must sow it to the world.
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.